You're listening to a new episode of the Freedom Lifestyle Podcast, and today you are going to meet Adina, who is a business coach that works with entrepreneurs to help them understand how their unique human design can be leveraged as a tool to create more wealth in their business, but more importantly, to have more fun in pursuit of their goals. I cannot believe it's been almost 100 episodes of the Freedom Lifestyle Podcast, and I haven't had someone on here yet who can talk about human design. It has been a resource not only for my own business, but my life, and it truly changed everything. As cliche as it sounds, I distinctly remember the day I got my very first human design reading, and if I had to describe it in one sentence, it was permission to finally just be myself. It was so friggin' powerful, but like anything in life, you want to pick and choose the type of information that you receive from these tools and really treat personality testing and tools like human design as a resource in a lifelong exploration of figuring out who we are, what makes our life exciting, and what makes our life meaningful to us. This is something that Adina really stresses. She says the worst thing you can do is get a reading and basically treat it as your life Bible, treat it as the absolute truth, and sometimes treat it as an excuse for not doing the things that could actually help your business and help your life because your human design told you energetically that's not right for you. Always a disclaimer with these things, but they are very powerful. Another disclaimer and note is that I did record this episode in a setting that maybe wasn't the best for podcasting. I was in Whistler, big open space, big open room with a little bit of an echo. So shame on me, but I think it was so important to just get this information out. It's too valuable. Adina is too much fun. You're going to love her. And so taking my own advice, perfection is not the goal here, friends. And I just tried to edit myself out as much as possible. So on that note, get ready to learn and get ready to meet a really amazing entrepreneur. With no further delay, here is Adina. Adina, welcome to the Freedom Lifestyle Podcast. How are you doing today? How are we feeling?
Feeling amazing. I get to see you again, which is an absolute bonus to my day.
Yes.
And I'm feeling good. It's 3 o'clock here in the afternoon in the UK. So I've had some good caffeine intake already. I've been in the vibes.
What would you normally be doing at 3 o'clock in the afternoon if you weren't on an interview with me?
That I can say publicly? I don't know. No, I'm joking.
Oh my God. Now I need to know what.
No, that was a joke. Or was it? I keep things very loose according to my human design. I have a few things that I need to do. But as far as the structure is concerned, it's like, okay, well, if it's like this every Tuesday, it's bad. So I need to give myself options.
Okay. I like that you said according to your human design. I'm hoping in today's conversation, we can pull out some high level examples, mostly to help somebody hear in very practical terms how knowing what your human design is could impact how you're making decisions, could impact what types of things you're saying yes or no to potentially, how it might be able to enhance some of the things that you're doing already at a very like high level. And then really it's up to the audience to then go take the next step, which would be to get a reading or really dig deeper into what their unique human design is. And so when we're really using a tool like human design, how does it differ from other personality typing systems like astrology or Myers-Briggs, which is one that I've used a lot in work settings and even in my personal life, and you know, throw in some dating experiences there? How does it differ?
So Myers-Briggs and StrengthsFinder and all of these things, they're all like psychological tests. And to be honest, like I want to know what your type is. I'm a campaigner. So I'm always really interested to hear what people are. Human design uses astrology. But the best way that I can describe it, and this is, so the answer is going to be a little bit longer, but I'll try to keep it as short as I can. We know that biologically, our DNA is unique to us. We share certain similarities with other people. There are certain chromosomes that are active and non-active. Anyone who, like, I loved DNA work in biology class, was one of my favorite things. Loved it. But we also know that just because certain parts are active or inactive means that therefore our entire genetic makeup can change based on that. So based on that, human design is essentially exactly the same, except it's your energetic DNA. That's how I like to describe it. So human design uses the modality of astrology, of the Kabbalah, of the I Ching, of the chakra system, but it puts them all together. So rather than getting just a cake or a starter at a restaurant, you basically get to look at the whole buffet. And you get to look at, okay, well, oh, okay, so we have fish. We have, like, maybe not the best example, but you see where I'm going with this. The way that you can then look at, well, how does human design teach me, how can I make decisions for myself, is it basically starts with the tip of the iceberg. Anyone who starts off learning about human design always learns like the top three, maybe the top four things, right? Your type, your strategy, your authority, and then maybe your profile or incarnation cross, depending on who you're following, right? So those are like my top four is always these things. Start with them. But then you can take years going into the rest, because now you're looking at, okay, well, the type has a certain energetic makeup. So let's take you, for instance, as a generator. Are you pure generator or manifesting generator?
Pure.
Pure generator. Okay. So every type has a theme that they would go through life with that they're here to output into the world. And let's say that the type is representative of, okay, well, what is the character of a movie that you're playing? Okay, so if the character is a generator, then that means you, as that character, are here for mastery. You are here to show the rest of us what it feels like to delight in mastery, what true mastery looks like, what it, like, deep in the details. That's what you're here to show us, right? So if you have a manifesting generator, for instance, that would be, their character would be to show us the mastery of shortcuts. They're not here to go and get bogged down in the details. They're here to find, how can I skip steps to get to the end that you're trying to show people, just to show the rest of us that life doesn't have to be so linear and that we get to experience loads of different things. Just based on that example alone, you would show people who are generators and manifesting generators work very differently. How can we show you as a generator how to delight in the mastery that you teach people, right? In the aspect of what you're teaching people. Or as a manifesting generator, it's not for them to get bogged down in the details, like I said. So how can I show them that skipping steps for them is actually the right thing? And trying, like, having many different business ventures on the side is also the correct thing, because the world has taught us to finish what we started. That's not correct for manifesting generators all the time.
Okay.
So based on that knowledge, we can then start looking at, okay, well, type alone. Okay, well, then we can go deeper. What's the profile? What's your authority? What's your strategy, right? And so that would then layer all of these aspects. Then we look at, what are the centers that are defined? What are the gates that are defined? How are the gates defined in each of the planets? Just because you have gate 15 and I might have gate 15, it could have a different expression. And so I'm getting very, very deep into here, so I don't want you to be like, ugh. But
no, I think that's really practical examples. And that's a good reminder that as a generator, mastery is something I want to be considering. And it also gives me permission to remind myself that I can invest in things I already know about, to go from a 9 out of 10 in a skill to a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
And that is actually something I've been feeling called to. I've been feeling called to actually investing in more public speaking courses. And sometimes when I say that to people, they would think, well, why are you taking a public speaking course? You're already a public speaker. You already do this naturally. But no, I want to be the best that I can possibly be at it. And it sounds like you just gave me permission to do that.
Right.
Okay, I'm signing up.
Well, I'm hoping that you give yourself permission, but then, like, let's take it as, you know what your profile is in human design?
My profile is a 1-3.
Perfect. So based on the type that we know, we now understand, okay, well, you're here for this mastery. You show us what satisfaction and mastery looks like, right? So then as a 1-3 profile, you're here to get really bogged down into the details. You are here to build the foundation of that knowledge, of that mastery, because the 1 is the investigator line. And the 3 is the line that experiments with stuff, which we call the martyr. And so here's why this is really cool. And then I'll show you what it might look like with someone else, right? So for you, for instance, you are going to want to investigate all of the programs, all of the, like, you can read articles. You can also read the same book many times over and get new information out of it. You just love investigating stuff. You're the person everyone comes to when they want to know shit, right? And then the third line, the martyr line, you take a sledgehammer to the knowledge that you have gained, you break it apart and you look at the pieces and you're like, okay, well, which one of these work for me? And you just take out what you like and you leave what doesn't. And that's something that the third line does really well. But we also say that the third line is trial and error. You need to try so much stuff. And so we say that the third line can't fail. Third and sixth lines, you guys can't fail because you like, you break stuff on purpose because you need to see how it works. So now imagine you're this 1-3 line, and as a generator, you show us the mastery. You show us, okay, well, you get rid of all of the stuff that didn't work for you. You show us what has worked for you. How valuable is that kind of experience, first and foremost, right? Think about that for a moment. But let's say you were a... Let's take a completely different profile. Let's take a 4-2 profile, for instance, right? The opportunist and hermit. That person who might also be a generator, they need to constantly like establish who the right people are. They have ride or die people. They don't have like just acquaintances. People with a fourth line, they have like their network is everything and they guard it. And they almost become friends with their clients a lot of the time. But then that second line, they need to be alone a lot of the time, right? So they don't, we also call them the gifted child. They don't actually need to take a lot of certifications. They're like, they will, and obviously to gain some expertise for that mastery, they might have to, but they generally tend to be quite good at something already. And so imagine if you knew this, and you started understanding, it's just like, oh, okay, well, I actually need to speak to people. So then we have a generator who needs to investigate and who needs to break shit down. It's very important for you because you have a resilience the rest of us don't have. That's what we need from you. And you show us how to find satisfaction. But a 4-2 line might show us, okay, well, here are the right people that I can connect you to. But also sayonara, guys, like I need to go and just do my own shit right now.
I notice you're using a lot of language. This is what we need from you. Mm-hmm. And what I'm really hearing is language around like life purpose and what you're meant to do and what the world wants from you and how you contribute to the world. And what I'm loving about that is I think, what is my life purpose and what am I meant to do? And getting direction on someone's North Star is what so many people are seeking, but not knowing how to figure that out. And I've been there so many times and I'm constantly adjusted. Like, what am I meant to do? What is my life purpose? And so are you saying that human design can help us during these moments of uncertainty and transition and figuring out what we're meant to do on this planet?
I think it definitely can help with that. So the one thing, and I always put a little asterisk on there, I'm not someone who says that human design tells you what job you would be good at, because I think that takes free will away from people. Everyone can be a leader. Everyone can be rich. Like we can all be everything. Human design isn't limiting. But can it direct you towards your purpose? I think it can. And that's what makes it so powerful.
I want to read to you something I read on your website when I was researching you, which it says that conventional rules and systems can only get us so far. You are helping your clients drop the shoulds to create new rules of engagement using their human design. So how is this approach going against the quote unquote mainstream way to do business?
Conventional marketing is always looking at what are some of the rules that apply to the public, right? So when we have research and when we have studies, and the thing is, studies and regulations and rules of thumb are a really cool way to understand how do the masses work? What is normal? What is a baseline, right? But when we start applying these things, and so I'm going to take marketing, for instance, we know that when we technically, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, when we apply a little bit of emotional pressure, that it's more likely for someone to buy, right? I'm not personally a fan of that, but it works because big companies pay a lot of money for that to happen. So, but then you have people who might be starting their business or who might be entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, and they don't have like 100K in capital to just spend on marketing experts who do this stuff for you. And now they feel that they have to start applying this, but it doesn't feel an integrity. And they actually get backlash. And because they haven't got this huge brand behind them, suddenly they get people complaining about this. Again, it depends on who you are, like psychological effects, like the halo effect, right? Like we put people on a pedestal if we think that they're a good person. It doesn't matter if they do something, right? So there are all of these features that come in. And so when I say it goes against the grain, when I say it goes against the conventions, because there are a lot of courses and a lot of programs and a lot of mentors out there that say, follow my three-step strategy, follow these exact steps. And the thing is, it's not that they're wrong. They're not wrong by saying, if you were to follow these steps, you are going to see results. But what does happen is that the people who might not have the emotional, energetic, and mental capacity to actually follow these steps, right? So like, let's say the traditional, like post three times a day, be really edgy, comment Gary V's $1.80 strategy. Have you seen that before? You basically, the $1.80 strategy is basically this thing. You follow 10 hashtags and you comment on 10 posts in those hashtags to get engagement. So you have like 100 posts that you comment on a day to create engagement. And the thing is, it works. But if you want to kill yourself afterwards, I mean, what's the point? Right? So like, success and financial wealth is really not interesting to me if it doesn't also come with how happy am I? And how much sleep am I getting? And do I have time for my people? And can I travel? And can I say the words that I actually want to say without hiding myself, right? Because there are a lot of, like, I've worked with a lot of rich people and I know a lot of rich people who are miserable because they're following strategies like this. And so when I say it questions convention, it's that I can't go out and tell you follow my exact strategy, which is like, this is literally like my marketing. I'm like, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you how you would do the thing that you do based on human design and based on the thing, because what works for me may not work for you. I'm a projector. Things work differently for me.
Okay. So much of that resonated. I'm thinking about so many times, even this year, where I wanted to start the year really strong and I had really ambitious goals. And I'm somebody who's naturally motivated. I have a lot of energy. I'm comfortable sacrificing periods of my life for future returns. And so I started the year really strong. I was executing on a ton of strategies, posting multiple times a day on social media, pitching myself to like 100 different events in a week. And I was doing everything I was supposed to do. And it felt so exhausting and it felt so shallow. And it didn't feel like me. It didn't feel like I was getting to wake up every day and do what I want to do. And what I'm hearing is there's a world where we can do that. Do you think that there's an asterisk there? Is there some types of people where just following what you want to do won't actually lead to success? How do we know the difference between leaning into our human design and, I don't know, just maybe lazy is not the word, but not being ambitious enough?
I think those are two different questions, but I love the question. So okay. I don't think that not being ambitious enough, or ambition and doing what you want, I think they're mutually exclusive and they're not. Because you can sometimes want to do what it is that you want to be doing, but you might have lost motivation. But that doesn't mean you're generally not ambitious. It just might mean that you are acting outside of your current capacity. And first of all, to that, I think I would say, give yourself a little bit of grace, because that's the thing, right? You said these exact words. I was doing all the things that I thought I should be doing. And I'm like, well, they will get you result, right? Law of physics, every action has an equal reaction. If you pitch to 100 shows and you do this consistently, you will get an answer from one or more eventually, right? And this is just like law of averages. But the question is, and I think this is why I think these are two different questions. You can absolutely go for quantity. And sometimes it's necessary to do that. Sometimes it's necessary to have like spurts of quantity, but it's not sustainable. And if we, I don't know about you, but I haven't met one entrepreneur that has gone into our world. And I say our world as in like entrepreneur, whatever it is that you're doing for yourself, thinking, I wonder how I can make this the most boring, mundane thing where I just throw spaghetti at the wall and do the same thing each and every day, hoping I get paid. I haven't met someone who went in there, because then we would have just stayed in our corporate jobs, because that's exactly what we did. I worked in sales. I had a call sheet, right? Every day I needed to have hours and I needed to call a certain amount of people, and it wouldn't have been good enough for what I did there, because I'm just like, it's not enough. I need to get as far away as possible as I can. It sounds like I use an extreme metaphor on purpose, obviously. But then we find ourselves as entrepreneurs doing the exact same thing again. And it's just like, okay, well, maybe the question isn't what is the most quantity that we can do, but how can we become more effective with doing the work that we know moves the needle while also being happy, while also staying sane, while also doing the very thing we said we went into business for to begin with, freedom.
What is the most surprising insight that you learned about yourself during this exploration of human design?
That I know a lot more than I give myself credit for. Also, so I think explaining how I got into human design will also answer that question a little bit. So when I think around like 5 years ago, I was part of a mentorship program that charged quite a lot of money. And it was like, obviously, I was just starting. I was first year in my business, really. And I was following the exact steps that my mentor was sharing at the time. I'm pretty sure she was a manifesting generator, is a manifesting generator. And so they were like, okay, well, here are the steps that you need to take and this, skip those steps and just do these. And then you get to your solution fast. Like literally, like I love it when people talk and I'm like, they keynote their exact chart. It's like, it's so good. I get very excited by that. But the thing is, I didn't know what human design was at the time and she wasn't teaching it, and that's okay, right? So at the end of the, like, I think it was a 3-month or a 4-month program, I was just like, well, I'm doing everything that you're saying, but I'm not seeing the results. I don't know what's happening. I'm actually doing the thing that you're saying and I have less people than I did before. Like, what is up, right? And then she's like, yeah, no, I can see that you kind of do that. She couldn't argue with me because I was sharing, like, I was a perfect student. She's just like, well, what's your human design? And I'm like, I have no idea. She's just like, well, go do the thing. Same website that I shared. And I was just like, I'm a projector. What does it? She was just like, well, if you're a projector, of course this doesn't work for you. I'm like, ah! And so then I started diving in. And I think at that point, she only just started out doing this. I was very bitter in the beginning, which is a very projector feeling to feel this bitterness. Generators will feel frustration. And so I started studying it. I'm a 5-1. So I investigate. Right? Like I investigate and I look and I'm like, and so I went really, really deep. And so that I hope that kind of answers the question in what I've learned that traditional marketing doesn't work for me. And to be honest, traditional marketing, again, how do we break the rules, right? That's exactly what I'm about. It's just like convention is convention because it's a guideline, not a exact formula.
What about a time where it challenged your own beliefs? I see you laughing and nodding. Tell me.
Does it ever stop, this identity work? I mean, can we go through this life and start to grow without ever breaking down who we are as a person? I think like that's something that I've learned on my entire entrepreneur journey is if we want to grow, mindset work is necessary. It's unquestionably necessary. You can't have success without working on yourself. And while it's not necessarily human design that did it, there were certain parts of me in the very beginning. And I think everyone does this to some extent. You see a system and it resonates so deeply with you. It's very easy to give that system a lot of power. And it's very easy. So that's what I did. I was just like, well, according to human design, I'm not here to work a 9-to-5, right? And so I was leaning on this. I was almost excusing myself. And then I was pissed off because I'm like, well, I'm not seeing results, but I'm a projector, so I can't go and ask people to do things. I can't go and do things. And so I think a big lesson and a big challenge that I've had to learn was take everything with a grain of salt, but also just because, again, there is a system doesn't mean it's a rule that, like, it's a system that's trying to teach. You still have to find out for yourself how you're going to use that tool. And so not to become victim to a tool, because it's very nice to blame something else and be like, well, according to this system, I can't do something, but it's also incredibly disempowering. And so I think when we start to understand, okay, well, I can use a tool to my advantage or I can let it use me, which one do I want to choose, right?
That makes sense. I can imagine people learning this information about themselves and then rather than being empowered by it, using as an excuse for why they're not succeeding at something or why they're not going to do something, and then just using that as a reason to not act. And so what I'm hearing is we want to use these as tools to empower ourselves, but there's no silver bullet with anything in life. There's no solution to anything where once you figure it out, this is the exact path to follow. As much as some of us might want that, right? I think so much of us just like wants the confidence and clarity because that uncertainty of like what I should be doing can be so uncomfortable for some people. Would you agree that that's sometimes just a mindset shift and not knowing and that uncertainty, there's a way to actually have that be fun and that could be what makes life a little bit exciting? Does that resonate with you at all?
I think it's a requirement actually for it to be fun. I don't know about you, but everything is up to perspective, is my perspective. A really cool example, I say cool example, I'm biased, obviously. A really cool example that I like using is we can throw 100 people into a movie theater. Everyone has the same seat. Everyone's watching the same movie. Everyone has the same popcorn. Everyone has the same jackets. Everyone has like everything's the same, right? But you would have 100 different experiences. And so does that mean that the movie is bad or does the movie is objectively good? It doesn't. It just means that we as a person, we need to understand that there are certain variables to us that will influence our perspective. And so is it necessary to make it fun? I think it's a requirement just purely because we have this age of the internet where everything is instantly accessible to us. Opinions, medical advice, anything possible. You start Google searching something and you get bombarded with like, here are like 7 trillion examples. And it's like, first of all, thanks. But also, which one do you then choose? Like, which one do you believe out of these things and what is true? And I think understanding that that is overwhelming, and rather than everything needing to be instantly gratifying, oh, well, we need to get this like ambition, going back to what you said in the beginning, I wanted to start the year off strong. Like, we've all done it. I've certainly done it. But then what does strong look like for us? And why does it always look like overachieving? And why does it always look like having big out, why does starting off strong always look like we have to be productive a lot? Why can't starting off strong be, I'm having a lot of fun, and if my output is bigger than what I want it to be, well, great.
What if the output isn't as big as you want it to be, but you're having fun?
Well, I think you're winning. Isn't the whole reason we all do something in this lifetime to figure out what the meaning is for us, right? Like, very philosophical, but like, what's the meaning of life? And it's like, well, if you're having fun doing it, it doesn't feel like a chore and it feels like you're breezing through life, which, surprise, surprise, when you do that, you think you're being lucky. But actually, if we're going back to energetics, that's how you attract. You have to learn human design. The more fun you have, it's very likely you are attracting opportunities, people, places, money, all of the funny things. But it's because we put ourselves under pressure. Oh, but do we look good enough in front of these people? Are we meeting their expectations? Are we having that white picket fence? Where I grew up, it was like my parents, East Germany, before the wall came down, they were just like, Adina, don't worry about your hobbies. I wanted to sing. I wanted to do musical performance. They were just like, no. You're going to become a doctor, a lawyer, or something that makes a lot of, you don't have to like it. You can do your hobby on the side. And I'm like, but I'm going to be doing it for 65 years or likely more. Why should I not like what I do? Well, because you can't have money to spend. And I'm like, look at all the doctors and lawyers who don't have enough money right now. Or they're miserable, even if they have money. And I'm like, well, I think fun is a currency that we don't give enough credit to.
I agree. And in terms of the work that you're doing now, so you're a full-time entrepreneur, you do like a mix of business and I would say even life coaching, correct me if I'm wrong, and human design is a tool that you use to support entrepreneurs in that journey.
Absolutely.
Has this been your business offering the whole time? What were you doing prior to this?
So it's surprising how much coaching with life things I do, because it affects your business. And I think that's something that we definitely should showcase more, that business coaching affects everything. So I very often talk with my clients about like their dates that they're having. I'm like, okay, well, this is a similarity with your clients. And they're like, oh my God, I didn't even realize this. And it's really nice to have that example. But I didn't even know what coaching was before I started it. And then I see this woman on a podcast show called Marie Folio. And I'm like, oh, fine, whatever. I'll just listen to this, put it on the site. And she's just like, yeah, well, and then I do coaching. I'm like, what the hell is coaching? So I Googled it and I'm like, I've been doing this my entire life, giving people advice, guiding people, and they got better because of it. And I'm like, okay, well, that's when I start. So then I started off with life coaching. So I took a couple of my colleagues and I'm like, so I have this thing that I would like to try. Can I just try this with you? So I asked them, I'm like, would you be my guinea pig so that I can see if I'm any good or what I need to do better? And they did it with me. It was beautiful. And then I realized that I wasn't quite into life coaching so much because everyone just tried to get me to fix their dating life. And I'm like, I just know. What I did find out I was really good at was sales psychology, because I was pissing my bosses off at the time massively, because all these KPIs, these key performance indicators that I had, I didn't meet, but I always overachieved except twice in my entire like 7+ year career. And they were just like, well, Adina, but you're not meeting your 40 calls a day and you're 2 times called out. And I'm like, but I did just achieve 110% of my nearly really revenue target, giving you an extra 3 million a year. I'm like, what's the problem? Yeah, but you're not getting the call times. And so my reward for overachieving was being given a higher target and more work.
Of course.
Right? And so I realized that I'm really good at sales and I'm really good at this psychology bit of what makes someone buy from you. And it's not how can I pester someone and be the most annoying person and how can I gaslight them into thinking that you need them. It was relationship building. And so that's when business coaching started to become a thing.
When did human design become part of it? So at this point, you're now, you tried it on your colleagues, but they were coming to you with dating problems. Mm-hmm. So then you realized I could actually work with entrepreneurs, or were you working with companies at the beginning?
I think I started off almost immediately with entrepreneurs. So I got this course called B School from Maria Folio, the lady that I got. And also before that, I got the course from Ash Amberjay, fantastic lady. She has a blog called The Middle Finger Project. So she's my people. And so through those communities, I basically started meeting entrepreneurs and fellow entrepreneurs. And obviously you exchange services for testimonials. And then people were like, okay, well, this is really good. And so I slowly started to build my portfolio of clients doing some free work in the beginning. Again, whether that was optimal is a different question. It was a path I took. And then I got into this mentorship program with this manifesting generator mentor that I talked to you about. And I was just like, okay, well, I want the high ticket. I want all of these things. And then doing all of these things. And then it's just like, yeah, well, if you're a projector, then you will probably find that that feels gross and that that doesn't work for you. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. So then I started studying it. And I'm like, well, if this is valuable for me, it's probably valuable for my client. From then on, human design has been a part. So for 5 odd years, if not more.
Okay. And so now human design is a tool that you're using in your business coaching.
Yeah.
Do you have any other certifications or tools? Like sometimes we hear about NLP or different other modalities that you're interested in that someone could also look into for their own coaching business?
I'm certified in NLP. I'm doing my master's certification as well through Ecology, which is something that I'm very, very proud of. It's one of the coaching modalities that I think is one of the most valuable. Again, I'm biased, but I really love that the idea of NLP is always, okay, well, how can we empower our clients to find an answer for themselves? I know that NLP for a while got a really bad rep. It's just like, if someone's trying to sell you with NLP, and I'm like, if no one has the power to brainwash you, like, but that's beside the point. Completely by the point. So yeah, I'm certified in NLP. I'm also certified in something called the Elevated Belief Coach Method by Relinda Morse, which is also something that I use. So we go into the beliefs, but how deep they're seated. So almost on an energetic level. So we know limiting beliefs, but then sometimes there are also core beliefs that we don't even think we believe. And so we use muscle testing and we use visualizations to sort of get to the bottom of things and then start anchoring them out. And that's also a very powerful thing that I do with my clients.
The elevated belief system. I've never heard of that before.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Okay. So you've really leaned into this coaching and it seems like you've explored all the different ways that you can support your client in figuring out who they are on an energetic level and have that really empower them and dictate how they show up in their business and how they pursue a life that the pursuit of their goals is fun and it's enjoyable. And these are just tools that we can use to uncover who we are to help us have more fun in pursuit of our goals. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and also create more wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, right? Like that's what we're doing in business. How do we make more money? Because surprisingly, making the money is actually the easy part. It's believing that you can make the money and allowing yourself to do that. That's the hard part.
Okay. Well, if people are listening to this and they're like, hey, I'm loving everything I'm hearing, I would love to know more about who I am and how I can use this in my business. Are you working exclusively with entrepreneurs? If so, how could we work with you? How could we find out more about your offers?
So anyone who wants to learn more about themselves, obviously business coaching lends itself to entrepreneurship. So it's always nice to have a chat and see where it goes to. But I offer human design readings. So if that is something that your audience might be interested in, if they want to be like, oh, okay, well, actually, that sounds interesting. I do offer them. I'll create a special code for you. So there's $100 off for your audience if they would like that. Yeah, obviously, like get in touch if you just want to learn a little bit more about it. because I can't stop talking about it, as you can hear.
I know. I want to really revisit my chart after this conversation and lean into it more, because it's been a few years. And I feel like it's also, once you have a human design reading, you get all this information about yourself, and it might be hard to master it all and to understand it all and implement it all. But then you have that reading that you can revisit during various periods of transition in your life. Like the last time I used it was when I really needed to lean into what should my next step be. And maybe I'm feeling called to revisit it and reach back out to people like you, because I'm in that phase again. And now I can revisit that chart reading and all those details to help me with my next step.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, if I even go a little bit further, if you have someone coaching you on this, right? So if you were to use it, the way that I do it with my clients is like, I know when someone's a manifesting generator, I'm like, you're just like too much into this one thing. We need to give you other avenues. And suddenly you see them deflate and they're like, oh, expand. And I'm like, sometimes it's, you don't even need to always go back to your chart. As long as you like, okay, well, my thing is mastery. My thing is investigating. My thing is breaking down the traditional and taking what works and then sharing it with other people. Okay, cool.
Love it. Okay. Reading plus coaching. My final question for you, Adina, I know we've gone over, you've been so generous with your time, and I really appreciate you even helping me revisit my chart. This show is all about the freedom lifestyle. When I invited you to be on the Freedom Lifestyle podcast, how did that term resonate with you? What is your version of free?
My version of free is having choices. Having options. And whether that, I think money is always a big part of it, because we are a society that is driven by money. If I had it my way, we wouldn't need money, but that's utopia at this particular point. And so having options and having the choices of, if I want to go a certain place, if I want to leave a space that doesn't feel right for me, if I want to live in a certain space, then I don't have to be like, well, what am I capable? What am I allowed to do? But rather, is this what I want? And I think like that choice to me is pure freedom.
The freedom of choice.
Yeah.
Love that. Thank you so much, Adina, for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom with us in all the different ways we can uncover who we are and then use that knowledge to empower ourselves to make more money, but also have fun while doing it. Because if not, what's the point, right?
Thank you so much for having me. And yes, absolutely.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode. If this one inspired you to take action, but you could use some help on your plan, or perhaps you've got too many ideas bouncing around in that beautiful brain of yours, you'd love some clarity on your strategy, what you should pursue first and why, well, I am now offering one-on-one freedom coaching sessions. You can book these at buymeacoffee.com/What's Your Free? This is our opportunity to have a virtual coffee together, spend an hour getting clarity on how you can unlock more freedom and flexibility in your life. On these calls, you can ask me anything, but here are some things that I'm an expert in. Creating a location-independent lifestyle, building service-based and freelance businesses, leveraging the gig economy and platforms like Fiverr, utilizing podcasts to build your personal brand, and developing passive income streams. So book your freedom coaching session with me at buymeacoffee.com/whatsyourfree. I would love to have a virtual coffee with you.